Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You should be down here, mate. We're going to have 17 degrees this afternoon.
Oh, I like the idea of that. That sounds rather pleasant, though. 12 and a half degrees in the car, 5 o'clock this morning. Quite nice, actually.
Yeah,
not
well,
too bad.
That's global warming. That's nothing to do with being in the south of France, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Okay, let's get straight onto it because, as we expect, there's some retaliation from Iran overnight. Markets down, oil up, gold up, the yen up.
A little bit. Stocks in Asia, certainly US futures, have pared back some of those losses, it should be said, and crude has come off its high in the past couple of hours after Iran assured that its strike on two US facilities in Iraq was concluded. It didn't mean it was seeking war. Markets, I think, also calmed by President Trump's response declaring all is well. Volatile session, no doubt about that. In the immediate aftermath of the attacks, saw S&P futures down 1.7%. The Nikkei, as you alluded to, in Japan was down 2.4%. Crude prices surged 4.7%. And gold, the safe haven asset, punched through $1,600 an ounce. That's for the first time since 2013. But hopes that hostilities might be done for now then triggered a reversal of many of those moves. Clearly the biggest foreign policy test for President Trump. He now must decide whether to continue that circle of escalation. Early signs, he's taking somewhat of a more considered approach than perhaps you'd expect. President Trump is due to make a statement from the White House later today, and that will give markets a clue as to whether this is likely to continue to escalate. Opening calls on the European bourses, no real surprise. They're looking a little bit weaker. Currently calling the FTSE down 28 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 90 points. CAC in Paris off 20 points.
Yeah, it's quite difficult for investors to know where to put their money at the moment. So I suppose this is just going to carry on, this kind of tit-for-tat sort of proxy war type stuff. And I suppose you'd be putting your money in defence and oil stocks, wouldn't you?
Well, oil stocks doing a little bit better on the back, of course, of the stronger oil price. How long that will last becomes a little bit more questionable. We know supply side of the equation still remains strong, particularly coming through from the United States, US becoming the world's largest producer of oil during the course of 2020, helping to reduce the risk of disruptions coming through from the Middle East. Gold is an important component. We've been talking about how it's a diversification tool within a portfolio. It's not likely to drive the long-term performance of portfolios, but can preserve well, certainly in the short term during times of turbulence. So lots of market focus on that. As always, it comes down to navigating through this political uncertainty through a balanced portfolio. Fundamentals still look reasonably okay. We expect global growth to modestly improve to around 3.3% during the course of this year. Corporate picture looks reasonably bright, although you'd probably argue analysts are too optimistic around earnings growth expectations for this year, but don't need to panic out of risk assets. Still think equities will outperform bonds, but you need to hedge that, I think, certainly for long-term investors with gold, or short-term investors to think about hedging it through some protection policies.
See, Sky's got its Brexit countdown clock back up. I hadn't noticed, actually. This time it's going to go down to zero, isn't it?
It looks that way. Britain looks set to leave the European Union, of course, at the end of January. But that doesn't mean, of course, Brexit and the debate is finished there. We move into probably the tougher element, which is sorting out the future trading relationship. And that's going to be a real battle. So still the potential for a cliff edge, no deal Brexit by the time that we get towards December 2020. Boris Johnson is meeting with the Ursula von der Leyen, the new European Union European Commission president, and will be outlining his plan to not extend the year of transition beyond 2020.
She's a definite improvement on Jean-Claude Juncker, I think.
You'd imagine so.
Finally, a quick word about Aston Martin. We spoke about Rolls-Royce doing pretty well yesterday, but it's not the same for Aston Martin, which is kind of the same market, but they have kind of bitten off more they can chew, perhaps. So that's the correct way to call it?
Yeah, shares slumping yesterday, down 12% after saying profit declined last year. In increasing the pressure on the sports car maker to attract new capital to fund a turnaround. Full-year earnings expectations somewhere between £130 and £140 million for last year. That compares to £247 million in 2018. Shareholders really had a tough ride since Aston Martin's IPO back in late 2018. Shares fell 57% during the course of last year. By contrast, Ferrari's stock has returned 70% over the course of the past year, highlighting the diverging fortunes of the two car brands. Aston has suffered with lukewarm demand for new models, uncertainty around Brexit, apparently discouraging domestic buyers. Sterling's recent strength has also been somewhat of a headwind, but they're focusing its efforts on its SUV, the new DBX, which unveiled late last year, trying to break into what is a lucrative but increasingly crowded market. 1,800 orders already for that, so some good news there. They have been trying to turn things around, boosting customer financing options, increased marketing, particularly in the United States, but that's had an impact in terms of margins.
All right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.31 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.11.5. You can get €1.17 for your British pound this morning.
Should have gone to Travelex.
You may not get much joy there unless you've got a bit of pen and paper. Being held, of course, hostage by hackers who attacked their systems through ransomware, demanding £6 million to give them access back to their systems. Reminder of the importance of having very strong cyber security, but also a good continuity plan in place.
All right, talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.